Jackie's a member of our church here, and she approached me about sharing her story. And is this the first time that you've laid this kind of thing out to a group of people? Okay.
It is.
So give her a big hand for being courageous tonight. Thank you for your willingness to do that.
Okay, so my story. It's titled The Fine Line Between Game Enthusiast and Addict. 24 hours to go and so much to get ready for. I have a mental checklist to make sure I get everything done before launch day. Laundry, food shopping, making meals for the family, cleaning house. I'm too excited to sleep, so I'm up early the next morning. I know what time Best Buy opens up, and I make sure I get there 2 minutes early. I notice others waiting outside as well, and I wonder what server they will be playing on or what game names they are using. I rush in. I pick up my pre-order. I rush out, and I'm home in minutes, opening up the box, installing the game. Now the agonizing wait comes, and after a while, finally, the game is installed, and I'm so ready. Game on. My name is Jackie. I'm a huge believer in recovery, and I struggle with online gaming addiction. You hear others talk about their addictions, drugs, alcohol, gambling, food, pornography, which are all very real, but are also very common addictions. Gaming addiction is not as noticeable as others, but it is just as destructive. I thought I had a normal life growing up. Both parents worked, made excellent money. We had motorcycles, boats, motorhomes, a condo in the mountains for ski trips. It was a great lifestyle to grow up in. My adopted brother, at the age of 12, started doing drugs. And from then on, home life changed. He was always in trouble. Parents were fighting all the time. And my goal was to survive all this the best way I could. My mother, who was prone to migraines, always had a cocktail of addictive pills she could go to when needed, and for years she would take them. She could function in real life and go to work and take care of the family. It wasn't a debilitating type of addiction, but it was noticeable to my brother that that she seemed dopey most of the time. The lesson I walked away with is that pills are bad. Stay away from them. My mom was also a shopaholic. She loved to buy clothes, jewelry, shoes, anything that had to do with style. She would sneak new clothes in the house by leaving them in the trunk for days and ripping the tags off them before she brought them in the house so my father wouldn't notice, and she would hope he would think that they were old clothes she had in her closet for a long time. There were always arguments about her shopping spending habits. My father was just as bad. He would get bored of material things he acquired and replaced them with new material things. He spent money constantly. So who knows if my addiction was learned from watching my mother, father, and or my brother all those years, or if it was genetic. But in the end, it doesn't really matter because it is real. In 1993, before there was the internet, I was introduced to games that you could play with others through your computer over private networks. There were only a handful of people in the U.S. playing online games back then. Well, I was one of them. A few years later, the internet started to evolve, and companies realized that they can create MMORPGs, massively multiplayer online role-playing games. Currently, there are so many MMOs, and access to them is very easy. When I started gaming, I would spend hours and hours online. I had just moved to Boston, married, and was pregnant. My family and friends were 3,000 miles away in California, and my husband was working insane hours, and I felt alone and isolated. As soon as my husband walked out that door to go to work, I'd power up my computer, I'd dial into the network, and log on to the current game I was playing. Some days I stayed in my pajamas all day, would barely eat, avoid answering the phone. I neglected my home, family, and myself. There were times where I couldn't wait until my son was napping so I could have free time to play. As he got older, I would sit him in front of the TV so I could game without disruption. There were times where the computer was working right or I lost the internet connection, and I would pressure my husband to drop whatever he was doing and fix it immediately. I would call him at work, ask him to come home, or do whatever it took to make it a priority to get my computer working. My priorities were so wrong. Technology started to evolve, which made gaming much easier. Internet, cable, chat rooms, headsets, mics. I started gaming heavily, getting involved in clans, guilds, with many people all over the world who all had the same wants and needs. I had my own fantasy world that I could go to and forget about the reality world. There were many times I would not have dinner ready or laundry piled up or the house was dirty and the fridge was empty. My husband was constantly telling me I needed to control my gaming hours or stop. He even gave me a notepad to track my hours so I could see for myself how much I was gaming. But I already knew how many hours I spent online, and I really didn't care. I would continually make excuses as to why I didn't want to go anywhere or do anything. I would lie to my friends I'd not spend time with them. I turned down invitations to parties, events, and outings. And, of course, my friends gave up on me, and the only real friends I had were online gaming friends. How convenient is that? For many years, I turned my back on God because I knew that what I was doing was so wrong, and I just couldn't deal with it. There was no relationship with God, but I knew he was always there, always pushing, moving forward with me, even though I turned my back on him. Once a year, my family from California would visit me, and I would game even when they were staying with us. When I traveled to California to visit them, I would take a laptop with me so I could have access online and game. My addiction spilled over at work, church, and many areas of my life. Many times I would sneak on in the middle of the night to game and stay up all night and sleep during the day. I would make up any excuse I could to get online, and when I was online, I didn't want any disturbances, and you could barely get my attention to talk to me. I also had double standards, which gave me permission that what I was doing was okay for me, but not for my husband. My husband used to game, too, but he stopped because I practically ruined his gaming experience. For him, it was many years of hurt, pain, and anger. Even today, we don't talk about gaming or the past. I told my pastor friend about what was happening, and he would check in on me now and then to see how I was doing and if my gaming was out of control. He and my husband were the only ones that knew I had a gaming addiction. I kept it a secret and told no one. Most of my friends knew that I liked to play online games, but they had no clue how it was destroying my life and my family. My pastor friend painted everything black and white for me, so every so often I would show up in his office for a reality slap. And it did help for a while, but not for long. My husband tried for years to help me, but after a while he realized whatever he said to me, I was going to do whatever I want, no matter what the costs are. My lowest point when I was struggling with anxiety and started having panic attacks outside the house, and I would only go out when I had to and only to places or stores where I felt safe. I was in the house secluded, and it was just me and my computer. When the panic attacks started happening at home, I was a mess. I was diagnosed with GAD, which is General Anxiety Disorder, and attended a program at BU in Boston for people who have this disorder and panic attacks. At that point, I stopped gaming for a while. Eventually, I was prescribed medication for my GAD, and months later, I was stabilized and doing well and living life like a new person. It wasn't a recovery point, but more like a vacation from gaming. I was attending church more regularly and started up relationships with my friends. I was cooking, cleaning, going out, doing things with my son and my family. Well, that didn't last long because one of the best games ever made was going to be released soon, and my online friends were pressuring me to buy it and start gaming again. That game was World of Warcraft. I got sucked in and was back where I was before. I knew it, and this went on for years. What changed me? I started to notice that whenever I was online gaming, I would look over my shoulder, and there was my son doing the same. I was the perfect role model, and I set the standards for teaching my son that it was okay to spend hours on the computer gaming, neglecting everything else in your life. Computer gaming is priority number one. The feeling in my gut was horrible. I was seeing a mirror image of me, and for days I see flashbacks and scenes of the destruction and choices I made years ago and how it affected my life and everyone around me. I would replay these pictures in my head, and I hated myself. I knew I could not do this myself, and I was too embarrassed, and I was unaware if there were computer addiction programs in the area I could join. So I decided to do what I call the God program. I turned to God. I used him to keep me strong and help me make better choices, to help me know when to walk away and know when I was spending too many hours online. I can choose the old me or the new me. I don't like the old me, and God reminded me daily with many flashbacks of the old me. Going to church and hearing sermons reminded me of the old me. This recovery did not happen overnight. It was a seed planted in my head by God, and he was determined to get through to me, and over the time, that seed grew, and I grew with it. 7 years ago, my husband and I reached out to my brother, who became homeless from his drug addiction. We offered to get him help if he came to live with us. For those years, I have had a huge magnifying glass in front of my face, which God placed there for me to see up close and personal what 30 years of addiction can do to someone. Talk about motivation. I watched my brother use the God program, surrounding himself with Christian mentors, attending church regularly, going to life groups, and reading the Bible every day. Today, my brother, who shouldn't be alive, I have a wonderful relationship with him, and he's drug-free, and he walks with the Lord. He's my hero and my inspiration. Today, I have my own secretarial business. I work around computers. I fix computers. I have computers all around the house. That I'm able to be around them and not have the urge to go online for endless hours and game. Yes, I still game, but I choose not to spend long hours online, and I can get up and walk away from the computer anytime I want, and I feel good about myself that I made the right choice. I have to tell you something in between this because I was on my way here, and I realized after being in this church 10 years and setting up the AV system upstairs, I actually come to church and run a computer here. I sit upstairs and I run a computer that puts up the music on here or the sermon slides. And it hit me. I'm on a computer even at church. You know, it's like temptation is even in church and I can still, it doesn't bother me. I can get up there and do it. It doesn't bother me at all. My struggle now is with my 16-year-old son, who also has an anxiety disorder, and his computer gaming is out of control. My husband would not let me blame him as a computer addict because my son is still in denial and does not realize that he has any kind of issues towards this. So I'm just going to leave it that it's out of control. Facing this is my worst nightmare, and I feel like I'm working with a clone of myself. I see it 24/7. I feel God has a purpose for me, and he wants me to see this and work through it so I can grow and be close to him. It's a long road, but I know there's a way out. But you have to decide when you want out and how you want out. I will be there for my son to help him through this when he realizes that he is addicted to gaming. I can't decide for him, but I can lay the boundaries. I can show him what his life is like right now and how it's affecting others. Gaming addiction is real. I have many friends that have teenagers that are gaming endless hours, and the parents don't realize the impact it will have on their children or their family. In 2009, China implemented a 3-hour gaming limit, which they control. I also read an article recently. There's a neurochemistry, whether you're gaming, or taking drugs, that is all the same. Says Dr. Hillary Cash, partner and executive director of the Restart Internet Addiction Recovery Program. It has to do with the elevation of dopamine and other neurochemicals that your body makes. When it overproduces that for too long, the body makes adjustments, which we call tolerance. And when you're not engaged in that stimulating behavior or ingestion of those chemicals, the body goes through withdrawal. You get one shot at life, you can choose to destroy it or live it. I encourage you, build a relationship with God, work with a recovery program or group, find support that you're comfortable with. If you keep focused on that, God will plant that seed in you and help you grow with him. Keep moving forward, because if you take time to stop, you'll be tempted to open that area of destruction. It's an ugly sight and a sight I'm too familiar with. One other thing. In 1993, I met my husband online. I was living in California. He was living in Boston. We met through a game network, and it was God that brought us together. And I feel my story is a testimony to God and his workings that after almost 17 years of marriage, we survived. Our marriage is growing and moving forward, and my relationship with God is maturing. I pray for all of you that you keep focused on God and know that he is there, silent, in the background, quietly waiting for you to turn to him for your strengths and weaknesses. Then he asked what my favorite verse was, and I guess it would be fitting for a gamer, since it's role-playing. It's Ephesians 6:10, 17, the armor of God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and know his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you'll be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And that's what I use to get through the day, through all the temptations, all the sin, whether I get tempted in church, whether I get tempted at someone's house, or at home. This is what pulls me through. Just keep walking with the Lord and know that with him I can walk away from that keyboard and just live a life sent for me.